I called him, and boy, he was excited. He couldn't wait to come be here today. And it is just an honor and privilege to welcome him to our pulpit. He's going to come and preach. And Dr. Weaver, you close as you feel led. Level Ground is going to do our invitation this morning. So you just, right. However it is, you turn it over and just let God use you this morning. It's an honor and it's a privilege to have here. And thank you for calling you my friend.
Thank you,
and I'm
brother.
Glad to hear my brother. God bless you. Make yourself at
God
home.
God bless you.
Isn't he the best dressed preacher you've ever seen? Isn't that wonderful? I like that. I find out where you shop. I'm going to find out where you... God bless you.
It is a pleasure to be here on this Lord's Day. Hard to think it was 16 years ago. I've gotten older. In fact, this coming November will be my 83rd birthday.
Amen.
And the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. One thing I found about getting older is that it takes longer to rest than it took to get tired. I appreciate the selection that you made of your dear pastor. Made a good choice. He's done a good work. The Lord's blessings on him. And you're just growing wonderfully. You look good. I asked my wife if I shared this story. I like to share this story because it's a good icebreaker. It's about a little boy that had three rabbits. His father said to him, said, "Son, you ought to name those rabbits." He said, "Okay, Dad. First my name is Foot. The second one's name is Foot-Foot. And the third one's name is Foot-Foot-Foot." So one day, Foot-Foot-Foot and Foot-Foot-Foot went out to play. And Foot broke his foot. And so Foot-Foot and Foot-Foot-Foot took Foot to the foot doctor. In spite of what the doctor could do, Foot died. So they buried Foot. Several days later, Foot-Foot and Foot-Foot-Foot went out to play, and Foot-Foot broke his foot. And Foot-Foot-Foot took Foot-Foot to the foot doctor and said to the foot doctor, "Is Foot-Foot going to die?" And the doctor said, "No, you already got one foot in the grave." I love these homecomings. I remember as a young pastor in my first pastorate in South Georgia, there was a singing group anointed like these, sang that day, and what they sang was, "I'm feeling fine." Are you familiar with that? "I'm feeling fine, woke up this morning with heaven on my mind."
Amen.
We are heavenly people, and I want to share with you today, I believe a message is appropriate for this day and this time, this particular time. And I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 33, and we'll look at verses 16 and 17 of the 33rd chapter of the Gospel of Isaiah. Again, Isaiah chapter 33, verses 16 and 17. And I've made it a habit over my ministry, and my wife and I have been married now for 63 years. And I'm in my 64th year of preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, I have made it my habit over the years to ask people to stand upon the reading of God's word. Thank you, sir. There's a biblical precedent for that. And when Josiah took the book in his Old Testament writing, it said that he stood upon a pulpit of wood, and when he began to read, the people stood. Jesus, when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood to read. I believe there's a certain respect given to God's word by standing to it. God's people are standing at attention, receiving marching orders from the Lord. And when you stand for the word, it shows you standing on the word.
Amen.
So, verse 16 and 17, of chapter 33 of Isaiah, thus saith the Lord. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the reading of this, your word. And I pray that you'll take your servant, saved by grace, called by a holy anointing, that you'll give me an unction to function. Magnify yourself in this place as I pray the blessed, beautiful, matchless, marvelous name of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. These verses I've read in your attention, I believe, are an Old Testament picture of a New Testament believer. It's God's picture of a Christian. It is a full-length portrait in black and white of a man that is dedicated and completely committed unto the Lord. God's purpose. He describes that man. He walks righteously. He talks uprightly. He hates the gain of oppressors. He shakes his hand from holding of bribes. He stops his ears from the hearing of evil. He shuts his eyes from the sight of blood. And this is not only just an Old Testament picture of a New Testament believer, it's a picture of God's requirement for all people all time. He has requirement, his requirement for all is his own righteousness. It's from head to foot, containing all that we are, all that we have. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is God's picture of a believer. But then in these verses, we have precious privileges that are given to every believer. Precious promises and privilege belonging to every believer. And there are four of them that are listed in this text in verses 16 and 17. My habit over the years is a message that lasts somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes. And I have used this rule of thumb all the way through. Is if I hadn't struck spiritual oil in 20 to 25 minutes, I'll quit boring. Now, here are four special privileges belonging to every child of God. Number one, our dwelling on high. He shall dwell on high. This refers to our position in Christ. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have been quickened together with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places. We are heavenly people. Now, this does not refer to going to heaven when we die. We will do that. It does not refer to the sweet by and by, but it refers to the nasty now and now. Our present privilege, we are heavenly people. We are an exalted people. At one time, we lived in the dominion of sin, in the darkness of despair, separated from God, but through faith in Christ, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of God's Son. This is our place. We have an everlasting possession. The word dwelling refers to that which is permanent. We have a permanent dwelling. We shall not be evicted from that. We have an everlasting dwelling place in the Lord. This is our position in Christ, our dwelling on high. Our feet are in the world, but our head is in the heaven. We have a home in heaven. We are here now, but our eternal address is heaven. Our dwelling on high. Now, God has made preparation for all his people to live that exalted life. However, there are not many Christians who avail themselves of that exalted privilege. Sometimes we live on that lowest level when we have a higher position to claim. I once heard about a man who had booked an ocean voyage, and the whole time he ate soda crackers and drank water, not realizing that the price of meals was included in the ticket. Listen, we are saved by grace, and Paul says with the death of Christ and his work for us on the cross, we are afforded all things in him. Paul tells us we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
We are told in Isaiah, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall walk, they shall run and not faint. In the world of lowest thoughts, we think on a higher level. In world of lowest deeds, we act on a higher level. In world of lowest words, we speak on a higher level. Our dwelling on high. First precious privilege, it belongs to you and me, here and now. We dwell on high. Second privilege. Not only do we dwell on high, but there is our defense from harm. The word says, his place of defense shall be munitions of rocks. This refers to our protection in conflict. The first refers to our position in Christ. This refers to our protection in conflict. In Colossians 3:3, Paul tells us that our life is hid with Christ in God. We have defense from harm because we dwell in him. We have a place of safety. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 12, speak of that absolute security and safety we have. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by day, nor for the arrow that flieth by night, nor for the destruction that wasted the noonday. He says, you shall not see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands lest they dash thy foot against a stone. There's our protection, our security, our dwelling on high, our defense from harm. This doesn't mean we're not going to get sick. That doesn't mean that we won't have troubles. That doesn't mean we're not going to die. It means that we have no everlasting harm to come to us. There's nothing that can get to us except it come through God. We are in him. The word peculiar in the Greek New Testament comes in two words, means to be around. It's like a dot within a circle. The circle surrounds the dot. We are the dot. God surrounds his people. There's nothing can come to us except it come through him. Satan could get nothing done with Job until God gave him permission and limited him. We may have trouble to come to us, but we are in the hands of God. There's no safer place to be than the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, my sheep know me. I follow them. They follow me. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. We're safe in the hands of the Lord. Defense refers to fortress. Munitions refers to supplies. Rock refers to stability. We are in Him, strong, fortified, eternally safe. Two privileges, our dwelling on high, our defense from harm. Then there's a third privilege, our donation for hunger. The text says, His bread shall be given Him, and His waters shall be sure. There's no doubt, there's no lack in the Lord. David said in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Psalm 34:10, he said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In Psalm 37:25, he said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In 2 Kings 17:2 through 7, God supplied the ravens and sent them to bring breakfast and evening meals to Elijah. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 2, 9 and 10, Paul says, In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. In Him we have a life that will never die. Amen. We have a righteousness that shall never be defiled. We have a preservation that shall never be disturbed. We have a title that will never be taken away. We have riches that should never be depleted. Our donation for hunger. Three precious privileges belonging to every child of God. Our dwelling on high, our defense from harm, our donation for hunger. Then here comes the most precious of all, our discovery in heaven. He shall see the King and His beauty. The word there, meaning see, is not a casual gaze, but it's a continual gaze. We continually look upon Him, never get tired of the sight, and are changed by the sight. Paul said in his letter to the church at Corinth in chapter 12, he said, Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. The psalmist said, As for me, I shall behold Him in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. Paul said, But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image as by the Spirit of the Lord. Our discovery in heaven. We shall see the King in His beauty. The King of righteousness. The King of Salem. The King of the Jews. The King of kings and Lord of lords. We shall see Him as Isaiah saw Him, high and lifted up. We'll see Him as the disciples saw Him on the Mount of Transfiguration with glistening garments. We shall see Him as John saw Him on the Isle of Patmos with eyes of fire, blazing with golden, with glistening garments. We'll see Him as Paul saw Him on the road to Damascus with a face shining above the brightness of the noonday sun. We'll see Him as Isaiah, as Solomon pictured Him. Altogether lovely. Rose of Sharon, lily of the valley. altogether beautiful. We'll see Him in His beauty as a young bride beholds her husband on the day of their wedding. We shall see Him. What a privilege. We shall see Him. We shall behold Him.
Amen.
Listen, we did not see Him born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. We did not see Him, the Ancient of Days, who, by the way, was ancient before there were any days. He who made all flesh, made flesh. We did not see Him admired by shepherds, sought by wise men, hated by Herod. We did not see Him in the carpenter's shop. We did not see Him in the temple at the age of 12, causing the doctors wonder with His words and questions. We did not see Him subject to Mary and Joseph in those years of obscurity. We did not see Him coming to Jordan, being baptized with John, and the Spirit of God descending on Him like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We did not see Him tempted of Satan in the wilderness 40 days. We did not see Him in His ministry, causing the lame to walk, the eyes to see, the deaf to the ears to hear, the dead to rise. We did not see Him riding to Jerusalem on that glad hallelujah Palm Sunday. We did not see Him as He overturned the tables of the change of the money changers in the temple. We did not see Him in the garden when His blood, when His sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. We did not see Him betrayed by Judas in the garden. We did not see Him denied by Peter at the courtyard fire. We did not see Him scourged by the cat of nine tails. We did not see Him as they crowned Him with the thorns. We did not see Him as He fell on beneath the load on the Via Dolorosa. We did not see Him as He spread eagles upon the cross, then nailed the nails in His hands and feet. We didn't see Him lifted up between heaven and earth. We did not see Him as He welcomed the penitent thief into paradise. We did not see Him where they took Him down and laid Him in a barred tomb. We did not see Him on that third day when He got up alive from the grave. We did not see Him when He appeared for 40 days with infallible proofs. We did not see Him when He rose to the right hand of the Majesty on high. But bless the Lord, one day we shall see Him. Amen. We shall see the King in His beauty.
Amen.
In His beauty.
Amen.
Not only we see the person, we'll see the place. We'll behold that land that is very far off. We'll behold that land that is fairer than day. We behold that land where the streets are paved with gold. The gates are made of pearl. And the walls are made of jasper. We behold that land where the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. We behold that land where out of the throne proceeds a river clear as crystal. We behold that land where there's no lead of the sun, but it's lit by the light of the Lamb of God. We behold that land when every tear shall be wiped from our eyes and His name will be inscribed in our forehead. We behold the land that is far off. Four precious privileges. Our dwelling on high, our defense from harm, our donation for hunger, and our discovery in heaven. When my life work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when that glad, beautiful morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer as I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling moment when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. Oh, how my glad heart will praise Him for His love, mercy, and grace that built for me a mansion in the sky. Through the gates of the city, in a robe of spotless white. He shall lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle delight, but I long to see my Savior first of all. I shall know Him. Yes, I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side, I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. Have you thought about what that day might be like? Have you thought about how you might react when you see Him? Will your eyes be filled with tears? Will I run around and jump and shout like a playful animal? Will I stand speechless? Will I praise Him with words that never stop? I don't know. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Father, thank You for these things that belong to us because we belong to You. Magnify Yourself, I pray, in this time of invitation. It is Your invitation. And I pray for those, dear Lord, who may not have these privileges, that may enter into those privileges by trusting Christ this day. Lord, I thank You for this church, for its dear pastor, for his faithful leadership over the years. Thank You for the way You're blessing and continue to bless. And I pray, Lord, You'll bless in the continual activities of this day. Thank You for all that's entered into it. And thank You that we have felt Your presence and power through all the service. Bless now, I pray, in this time of invitation. Magnify Yourself through it as our prayer in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Your pastor's here to receive you as God speaks to your heart. The best way, the only time, the invitation, the best invitation in the Word of God that I found is the one that Jesus gave to Mary at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Mary gave the word about Jesus to the servants, and she said to them, whatsoever He says to you, do it.
Amen. Amen.
So whatever God says to you, do it.
Would you stand, please? Level Ground is going to come and sing our invitation song this morning.